was kind of laughing this morning a little bit as I was preparing the message, and I actually very early this morning got up and was preparing and praying. I spent some time yesterday, not a lot, but mostly early this morning, was in prayer. Okay, God, what do you want to say? What do you want spoken about this morning? And I felt like, I know he spoke this to me, because when I got here this morning and I was reading back over what I had, I come out here at one point and two or three people, Ray and Grace and some others, I think were talking about, Grace had brought up about the study of praying in the Holy Spirit. And there's a scientific study that they hook people's brains up to a machine, and it can read brain waves and what's functioning in the brain. And they had people praying in the Holy Spirit. When they begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, places in the brain light up that the machine can't understand, they've never seen before, because it activates places in the brain, because it's a spiritual thing. It's a real, tangible thing. And this machine and the scientists could read it, and it's just dumbfounded them, because there's places in the brain and there's activity that does not happen unless someone prays in the Holy Spirit. And they were talking about that this morning and praying in tongues, and that's exactly this morning what I was going to speak on. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to read some of the scripture. I don't know how much, maybe the whole thing, I'm not sure. But what I felt like is just to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. Because we, this morning, have an atmosphere. Because I had, even in studying this and kind of reading up on some things, had read, you know, we're all believers in this room this morning. There's nobody in here that does not know Jesus, hasn't prayed the prayer, believed in Him. And so we're all believers this morning. So as believers, I want to encourage you, just like the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthian church in this passage in chapter 14. And to them, he is saying this. It's an exhortation, and it's talking about prophecy and tongues. And so what I want to get across to you this morning is that tongues are important, and they are for every single believer. That you, none of us can say it's not for me. It is for you. It is for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And so is prophecy. And so it says this, Apostle Paul writes this to the Corinthian church, and he is written a letter here. He is dealing with like a teaching and getting their understanding stable, but he's also dealing with some things that maybe they're going through that are a little bit out in the fringe that need to be brought back into correction. And of course, it goes on into deeper places, but I want to focus like a laser on this right here this morning, this passage. It says, Apostle Paul said this to them, and 14 verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Do you hear that? Don't pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. Now, just chew on that one little thing, that verse 1 right now for just a moment. Just chew on it for a minute. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. What is prophecy? A spiritual gift. So he says not to pursue spiritual gifts, but to desire them. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. But then he emphasizes, but especially that you may prophesy. Especially desire that you may prophesy. And then he goes on to teach about this. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. So let's move on for a second. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So I pray in tongues to edify myself. You know, you'll find if you pray in the Spirit, those of you who do not feel bad this morning, I want to encourage you this morning. What the Apostle Paul is teaching here is to desire it. Pursue love. and desire the spiritual gifts. But the thing is, if we don't pray in tongues, we're not prophesying. You got to start at number one to get to number two and number three and number four. And there are nine gifts. There's a bunch of different gifts, but we have to learn how to use those gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to stop. I'm keeping my finger here for a reason. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me during worship. You know, all of us have cell phones and the conversion. Well, if you're an Apple person, you don't have this issue because you just go from one Apple product to another. And the understanding is always the same. If you have an Android, things change dramatically. They're much more difficult. And you may, in your case, understand going from one Android to another. But if you're an Apple person and you try to switch to an Android, it is extremely frustrating. If you're an Android person and you switch to an Apple, it's just frustrating for a little while. You know, it's not because it's easy to learn. No, I'm kidding. It's true. It is, actually is true. So what I want to tell you is this. The gifts of the Spirit are activated by praying in tongues. That's how we stir up the gifts of God within us. That's how we, he said, what? Edify ourselves. So we got to build up ourselves to be able to prophesy. To build up ourselves, we've got to tap the Holy Spirit and scroll down to what he wants to say. But if you don't know how to tap, if you don't know how to tap God and scroll down to what you should say, it's frustrating. Because you can have a desire in your heart to do something good for God, something for his kingdom, and not know how to get there. The Holy Spirit says in Scripture in John that he is given as our helper to help us. So when those moments when I don't have an answer, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to fix a problem or a situation, or I'm facing a mountain, or I feel buried in my life, like I'm being dirt thrown on me and I just can't get out, the solution, the answer is to tap the Holy Spirit and scroll down to the answer. How do you do that? You pray in tongues. You edify yourself. Why is it important for a believer to receive the gift of tongues? Because it is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the evidences that we know for sure that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. But it also is, he is the way that we tap the resources of God. We get wisdom, we get understanding, we get knowledge. He keeps us from error. He keeps us in the right paths of God so that we're in the right pursuit. You know what the thing about error is? You don't know you're in error till it's too late. You're deceived. Deception is deceitful. So you can get off track. But the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us on track. He's the one that keeps us where we need to go. And those times when we feel frustrated, whether it's a situation we need fixed in our lives, the answer to that situation, no matter what it is, you could give a million of them, every answer is in the Holy Ghost. He gives us the answer. He helps us. That's what he's there for. And it says, moving on from verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. Now, imagine the Apostle Paul speaking to you and to me. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So think about that for a second. If Todd got up here with his bass to play a song, I've heard him do it during practice. He'll get up there and play a song, and a four or five notes, six notes in, picking on the strings, I know what that song is. I mean, you can hear the melody. There's a distinction. There's a clarity to it, and you understand it. But if he got up here and just hit the top chord and just murr, what good would that do? None. So it is important to have your prayer language for edification of yourself, but it is even more important that you go from edifying yourself to being able to edify others. That's the purpose of praying in tongues. So that, you know what? You know, the teaching has said, and I've heard this before, I can't lift somebody up out of a pit unless I'm standing above ground myself. And the only way I get above ground is to pray in the Holy Ghost, because He gives me the answer. He keeps my feet on the ground and keeps my head above the dirt. That's what He does. He keeps me in that place. And I struggle sometimes with life and with difficulties, but not always, inevitably have learned to turn back to the Holy Spirit. Pray. Sometimes when I'm against a wall and there is no answer, that is what I do. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And it's not, to me, if you're doing it individually, it is not just, it's not one chord. It's a melody, because you're edifying yourself. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're edifying and building yourself up inside. And it is not one note. It is a melody. It's a chorus. It's a whole song. The longer you pray, the more deep and intense it gets. And the more stuff the Holy Spirit breaks off, and the more understanding comes, and the deeper you get in the things of God. The deeper you enter into the realm of heaven and all the things that God has for you and you alone. And then you cross this point in that, when you've edified yourself, you cross the point at some place in time. And you can always get back to the point. Like if you go for a while and you've prayed in the Holy Spirit before and you do it for a season and then you quit, you can revert back to the point of not being useful, you know, because it does happen. But so that's why it's important to always pray, always in the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul said, I wish that you all prayed in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Because why? Because prophecy is when we enter that place where we're making a tune not just for ourselves, but we're making a tune for others, for edification of others. That's what the church is about, that we build one another up. That the Apostle Paul said to the Corinth church, I wish that you all prayed in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. So we can say the same thing. I wish that you all prayed in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Why? Because that's where we enter the place of edifying one another, and we need each other. Not just in the words that we understand and, hey, I'm here for you, or even showing up, but also praying in the Spirit for one another. Because this church stands today because of those who pray in the Spirit. This church is here as a result of those who pray in the Spirit. Not in natural circumstances, not in finances, not in reason that we can articulate. It is built upon the edification of praying in the Holy Spirit. That's the foundation of this church. It's built in that, rooted in His Spirit and what God wants. But the edification process is like, the understanding of what I got to this morning was, God, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues is like building our immune system. Without praying in tongues, it's like a Christian with no immune system. We're open to temptations. We're open to sickness, disease. We're open not just to that, but I'm talking about spiritual things. We're open to misunderstandings and error and confusion and all the things that the enemy employs in his arsenal. We're wide open to it, like having no immune system. And we have to wrestle through those things on our own, and our bodies literally trying to fight off misinterpretation, misunderstanding, not having clarity, having confusion, or living in a cloud of it. And so these things are meant to be squashed by the Holy Spirit. If we employ the gift of the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, if we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and we ask God to baptize, Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, we receive that prayer language. We use that prayer language to build our spiritual immune system. To what? To edify ourselves. Then the prophecy part, see, an immune system is a defense system. That's what it is. Because let me tell you something. You got to build your immune system up to go on the offense. In the Spirit, see, the minute you go on the offense, the attacks increase. It's one thing to be in this country and deal with sickness and disease. It is another thing to go to Africa and be prepared. You have no clue the things I saw. There is sickness and disease that would make your hair stand on the back of your neck, as it did me. So I wouldn't go over there unless I was praying in the Holy Ghost. There's no way that I would go to those places without the Holy Spirit, because I know physically He's my immune system for my body, but He is also my immune system against the devil and against demons and against sickness and disease coming on me from those places. So there are certain things that when you go on a mission trip, that depending on where you go, there are advisory things that you take into account. Then there are things that are required. Like if you're going to go to another nation and come back to the U.S., they require you to have certain shots. And they're not going to let you out of the country and fly to that place unless you have those shots. And then there are things that they advise that you're not required to do, but it would be a good idea if you did. So I prayed in the Holy Spirit, and I took the advisement and picked out what I felt like in the Holy Spirit I was supposed to do to go to Africa. Because I didn't do everything that they said to do. Because there were certain things that they said to do that I was not going to do. Taking certain medications for malaria and stuff like that. Specifically, I was not going to do that because I didn't feel like the Holy Spirit told me to. And I didn't want to take those drugs. Because they are drugs. And I just didn't want them. And so, we build up our immune system. And if I don't... There are things that... do you have to pray in tongues to go to heaven? No. But is it a good idea? Yeah, because this life here can be a whole lot better, a whole lot easier. And listen, I want to get to heaven and have something to tell, because I want to be able to sit down with the apostles and all the different people that are going to be there and have something to tell. Because if I don't build my immune system and my defense system in the Holy Spirit and edify myself in the Holy Ghost, and then go from that point on to the offense, being able to edify someone else, and then have those testimonies by seeing salvations and seeing healings and seeing all the things that we are supposed to walk in. Jesus said we would do the things He did and greater. Well, we can't do the things He did if we don't pray in tongues. And we can't do the things He did if we don't employ the power of God. And the power of God is in the Holy Spirit residing in us and praying in tongues and us edifying ourselves. And then, like He said, I wish that we would all pray in tongues, but I even more so that you would prophesy, because prophesying is edifying one another. And it's edifying those who come into those doors. So likewise, this is in verse 9. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking to the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, but none of them is without significance. Therefore, if you do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks shall be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let it be for the edification. See, your motivation's got to be right. My motivation has to be right. Why do I want spirit? Why do I desire spiritual gifts? For the church's sake. We are the church, and we are what Jesus died for. And it is for the sake of the church that I desire spiritual gifts. And you should desire spiritual gifts. Because that is pure motivation. Pursue what? Love. Pursue love. Make sure your motivation's right. First, if your motivation is love to edify the body, then seek to excel in those things. That is right. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to be prideful or puff myself up or be above anyone else. My motivation is to see the church grow. My motivation is to see the church thrive and live and be strengthened and overcome and be built up. Your motivation, check it. Ask you, what's your motivation? Because there are those, and he goes on to deal with this, that seek the spiritual gifts for the reason of making themselves look a little bit better. Because it can do that. But if your motive is right, you don't have to worry about that. That's not the motive that we should employ, because if we pursue love, like he said, and then desire spiritual gifts, like he said, in a correct order, then our motives will be right and our heart will be pure, and we'll see the church edified, and we'll be doing the right thing for Jesus, who we love, because he first loved us. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So in verse 13, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So he's talking here about, like, when we meet together and we're praying, and if you get up and you raise your voice and kind of distract everything and pray in the Holy Spirit, then in those moments in a service where worship is going on or something's happening that's in order and decent, in those moments, if you raise your voice, then you need to seek to interpret. And even above that, if you pray in the Holy Spirit, and with an individual, seek to interpret it, because you want to be able, if it's a believer, you want to be able to turn that into edification, something that is encouraging and building up of another person. And if you can't do that, then don't do it, because there's different ways to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'm a firm believer of praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't think you can really mess up unless your heart is wrong in it. If you're not pursuing love, then yes, you can get up and interrupt a service and do the wrong thing because you want to be seen and not be doing it in purity. But if you're doing it in purity and you're seeking the Holy Spirit and to edify the body in the church, to edify the church, then your motive's right. And God honors that. And that's a good thing. And so those are the things that we seek. We seek to edify one another and build up those who we love and care about in the church, that are our friends and family. And so, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what does that mean? I'm edifying my spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm edifying my spirit. But my understanding is not enlightened. Because when we're praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, we're not understanding a word, usually in our cognitive mind, at all, what's going on. Now, when the Holy Spirit interprets that, then suddenly it's like, oh, that's what that was saying. And if you've ever been in a service or overseas or anywhere, or even watched something where there's an interpreter involved, you see the person speaking in English, and then you see the person, they stop, they say just enough to get the understanding of what they're saying across. See, it's very difficult. It's not very difficult. It's easy, actually, but it takes a little bit to learn when you speak with an interpreter, because what you have to do is you can't just say two sentences and stop every 5 minutes. What you have to do is learn how to get your thought out, complete thought, and stop. And then let that interpreter get that complete thought out. Does that make sense? And so the Holy Spirit will give a complete thought, usually. What he'll do is, if I get up and give something in tongues, then he will interpret that with an understanding. This is what God is saying. This is what I'm saying. And it... You know, I grew up in churches where every word of interpretation was given in King James English. And that's great. I think that's awesome. I really do. Because a few weeks ago, we went to a service where that was kind of what was done. And it had been years for me to be in that place. But what I was excited about is the guy was pretty much on. And I liked it. I was like, you know what? This is good. Because it doesn't matter how you come across with it, but the Apostle Paul in this passage, and I read it, encourages us to put it in simple English, put it in a simple understanding. So, can you do it in King James English now? Yes, you can, but it is even better if you can do it in a simple way that's simple to understand. Just convert that, whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you in interpretation, just convert that to a simple thought. And leave it there. And can it be done in King James? Yes, absolutely. I encourage that. However, whatever translation you use is usually what's going to come out of your mouth if you get an interpretation. So I don't knock any interpretation. Just as long as it's the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter. As long as our motive is pure and right and for the edification of others, then hey, let it fly in ESV. That's up to you. But for I pray in a tongue, my spirit For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. Let me read that again. What is the conclusion then of all this rambling? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in understanding. So we do both. It's not all one and not the other. We do both. We employ both. We pray in the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times we're around here, we'll be praying in the Holy Spirit during a service. And if I'm praying in the Holy Spirit to stir myself up, I don't have to give an interpretation in that stance. That's different. But if I interrupt a service by getting up and bolstering out a tongue, then I better be ready for an interpretation. That's a whole different ball of wax. Whole different understanding there. So we pray freely in the Holy Spirit. Maybe from the microphone. Yes, a lot of times from the microphone. But is it something that needs to be interpreted? Not always. Sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Spirit just to build myself up above whatever feeling is around me at the moment or in me. And I get over that and I get through that. And once I get through that, then okay. I feel I'm in the flow of the Holy Spirit now. I'm above whatever that current was that was trying to push the other way. You know what I'm talking about. You can feel the current. You can feel the atmosphere around you when it's going the wrong direction. It's not a good feeling. So you pray in the Holy Spirit to get above that feeling and get out of that fray. Get out of that push in the wrong direction. And you can feel, literally feel, when you're in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Because when you're in that flow, it's easy. It is literally like the wind is at your back and not pushing against the direction you're trying to go. There is a difference. And you can feel when you top the mountain. Literally, it feels like that. It feels like you just topped the mountain. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. It's for us to top the mountain. For us to get our back to the wind, where the wind is pushing us forward and not pushing us backward. So in verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? So again, this is talking about if I walked up to Jerry and started blasting out in tongues to him one-on-one and then just stopped and stood there. If you're in the place, if someone comes in that door and they sit down in that chair and I walk up to them and I just blast like a trumpet, one chord, bong, in tongues, what are they going to do? Oh, you're nuts. Yeah. Because it don't make sense. So without an interpretation, that's what he's talking about. Not if I'm up here in the mic and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit to build myself up, to get over something, and then go into what God wants to say. Because you know what? Sometimes we pray in the Holy Spirit, we get up over something, and then we get the interpretation. Learn how to interpret. Desire to interpret. He said that. Well, how do you desire? How do you learn? You do it. You try. You seek. You desire the gifts. Desire them. That's all this morning is about. Desire the gifts. No matter where you're at in your walk, desire the gifts. If you've had them before, you still have them. They don't go nowhere, but desire them. Desire to stir them up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, pray, ask God, desire the gifts, desire tongues, so that you can open and unlock all the other gifts of the Spirit and learn how to operate in them. Why is it important? It's important not just for you, but it's important for all those you come in contact with. Because if I'm prayed up in the Holy Ghost and I'm stirring up the gifts of God within me, then when I encounter people who need Jesus and need the Holy Spirit, I'll have the answer. I will have, in that moment, the simple explanation that they need. That's what he's for. That's what tongues are for. So that I have, and I'm prepared, an answer for every individual that I come across. I'll tell you what, the most difficult thing I ever encountered so far in time with God and in ministry, it was honestly John. Because I encountered him on a day, didn't know who he was, and he spent at least 12 straight hours, I would say, at least over 8 hours one day, 10 hours one day and 2 hours the next morning, arguing with me about the Holy Spirit and all the stuff. Talking about Benny Hinn and this, that, and the other. When I met him, he did not know Jesus. But when we left there, he left with me knowing Jesus, and he's here teaching kids today. Why? Because I knew somebody had taught me the value, the importance of praying in tongues. And because they taught me the value and the importance of praying in tongues, I had a simple answer for every question he had. Not because I had studied it, but because the Holy Spirit gave it to me in a moment's notice. I didn't know how to answer 3/4 of the questions he had. They were tough. Yeah, very. I was like, Holy Ghost, help me out here. And he's, yeah. But the Holy Spirit gave the answer that I did not have. Because it was words of wisdom. It was a gift of the Spirit to have wisdom and understanding. It wasn't something I earned. It's not something you earn. It's something you tap into. And then you scroll down to the answer you need. If you know how to work that phone, it's a lot less frustrating. Right? I didn't realize. I didn't hear it. I honestly didn't. I really didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. I really didn't. Sorry. I don't think we could get that to happen again. Yeah, he just scrolled down to your answer. You might want to read that text. It would be funny if it was something. Yeah. Amen. In verse 19, it says this, "Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." Woo! What are tongues for? To get the 5 words. Simple. It's not difficult. Tongues. I might speak in tongues for 10,000 words to get 5 that leads that person back there to Jesus. That's what it's for. It's what he's for. He is for that. Tongues are a gift to stir up the gift of God that's within us, to build and edify ourselves up so that we have all the tools in God's arsenal that we need to redeem his inheritance, to lead people to Jesus. It's not the words that we speak. It's the words that he gives us to speak. That is prophecy. Prophecy is not me speaking what's in my mind. Prophecy is me speaking what God puts in my spirit. How do I get God to speak into my spirit? I pray in tongues. And I get understanding. And I might pray in tongues 10,000 words, but I get 5. And those 5, bam, 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 every shot hits the mark. You know what? You can have a machine gun and be in a war and be shooting all over the map and not hit a thing. And it's no good. But that sharpshooter with that scope, one shot. That's what it's like. The Holy Spirit, when we stir up the gifts of God within us through the tongue and praying in tongues, that's exactly what it's like. We fire one shot and it'll do what 1,000 will do. 10,000 shots is not equal to 5 that hit the mark. So, why do we do it? Why is it important? Because it stirs up the gift of God within us. And we pray in the Holy Spirit to edify ourselves and to get the words that need to be spoken. And also to have the power in that moment. Now maybe it's not even a word. Maybe it's just they're sick and we need to pray for them. But the gift of God stirs up, when we pray in tongues, it stirs up the gift of healing. You won't know if you have healing or not unless you pray in tongues. If you flow in that gift, you would never know it unless you're praying in the Spirit every day to stir up that stuff. And then you're trying it by laying hands on somebody to pray for them. Or you're giving, when the Holy Spirit gives a word to you, you're giving that, you're sharing that. I wish that you all would pray in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, that you get a word from God and then walk up and give it to someone else and it edifies them. And do you have to say God said? Not always. Sometimes it's just, you know what? I just believe, you know, I just want to come up and tell you that you're beautiful today. Maybe they've heard they're ugly for their entire life. You don't know. I don't know. But it's simple stuff that usually that's where the Holy Spirit's the most powerful. Those simple either answers to a difficult situation or simple statements where we walk up to someone and it's a word of wisdom. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, you're doing awesome today. You look great. You're beautiful. Whatever. It can be so simple, or it could be a little more complicated, but the Holy Spirit, we pray in tongues to get that five or six words or whatever it is. It can be more than that. But we get a word from God, and I get most of my stuff in pictures. I see things in picture form. I see like a vision. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I get that. And when I start praying in the Holy Spirit and focusing on that for someone, then He always will like add to it a little bit. It's like it starts with five words and then He'll give me five more and five more. You know, it's like the picture grows. And then when it stops, it stops. I'm like, okay, that's all you wanted to say. Because God won't overload you. He'll give you exactly what you need to say. And five words from Him is far more powerful than 10,000 that are meaningless. We hear words all the day in and day out, all the time, from advertisements, from things on our phone that we read, from Facebook, from people and individuals around us, from people at our workspace, whatever. But five words in a service, or five words from a Christian who is praying in tongues and they're tapped into the Holy Spirit, five words from an individual like that can change our whole day, year, or life forever. So in verse 19, you know, it said that yet in the church. And then in verse 20, it says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babies, but in understanding be mature. So it's good, talking about these things and teaching about the importance of praying in tongues, it's important to understand. In understanding, be mature. So we seek to be mature in our understanding. Will we make mistakes? Sure. But maturity comes from making mistakes and then correcting them. If our heart is pursuing love and we desire the gifts like in the right order. Because some of it, you know, it's easy. I have seen those that I would think, I don't know for sure, but I would think that it's out of order. That it's desiring love and pursuing gifts. It can be out of order. And then there is a place, you know, that does happen. So, I encourage you. In 21, it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So for those of us who believe, prophesying is for those who believe in God. To edify us, what are we doing when we pray in tongues? We're edifying ourselves, right? So what's prophecy for? Also, in addition to that, edify us. Why would God put all this stuff about edification for ourselves, like building ourselves up and strengthening ourselves? Why would He like double duty that? Because we need a lot of it. We do. We need a lot of encouragement. We need a lot of edification to live this life for Him. We need a lot of it. You can't have too much edification. We need that. We need that encouragement, that exhortation, the building up of ourselves and the building up from others. And we all need that. So prophecy is for that. Prophecy is to build us up. And then for the unbelievers, tongues is a sign because it's confusing. Well, what is that? And then once understanding is given to that unbeliever, okay, let me explain to you why tongues are important. I'm doing it right now. Let me explain to you why tongues are important. Then that unbeliever goes, oh, okay, now I have a little bit of understanding. And then from understanding, see, tongues brings a big white elephant into the room when I go blare at that person in tongues. If I stopped at that, then that wouldn't be good. But if I turn around from that and in four or five simple words say, you know, God has this for you. This is what He's saying to you. What does that do? That unbeliever goes, whoa, how'd you know that? You know, that's exactly why it works. says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are not who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? It's written in the word. Will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and convicted by all. So if an unbeliever comes in this room and we're just praying in tongues, what would the response be? You're all out of your mind. But if we're all prophesying, there's no way that person's going to get out the door if they get three or four prophetic words that are legit, that they're not going to be scratching their head or right down here on, you know, giving their hearts to Jesus. Whoa, how'd you know that? Wait a minute. Four or five of you knew that? Hey, wait, hold on. How, y'all don't know me. That is what God does. If, you know, the simple things. So we edify ourselves so that not only can we edify one another and encourage one another as the church, but we also see unbelievers come in, or we're around unbelievers, and we see them come to Jesus through this understanding that we have. We understand the importance of tongues and the importance of prophecy. They're extremely important. The Apostle Paul said it clear himself. I wish that you all prayed in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person, he's convinced and convicted by all. Verse 25, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So in verse 26, it says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a song. No, I don't want to go into that. We'll stop there. Holy Spirit said stop. So, listen, that's going on into talking about church order. That's a whole different subject. But what I want to encourage you on this morning is, like I said, just like a sharpshooter, like a laser beam, I encourage you. The Apostle Paul said it. I wish that you all prayed in tongues, and that you, even more so, that you all prophesied. But we got to start by receiving the gifts of the gift of the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues and the filling of the Holy Spirit, so that we can have the gifts, and then we can move from praying in tongues, and we pray in tongues every day, and then we move from that into prophesying. Because the Apostle Paul said it's important. Jesus made it clear that it is important. He didn't give gifts if they weren't important. You know what? We have gifts from God available to us in the Holy Spirit that if we don't open them, then it's equivalent to us to saying, you know what, that's not important. It is important. Why is it important? Because there are people that each one of us are going to be around that the other ones will not. And if we have those words of encouragement, we have that moment in time where we have prayed in the Holy Spirit, and we know that we hear what God says, and we give that answer to an individual, or we encourage a person, we edify them. See, if I'm not edified, I can't edify someone else. I can't prophesy to someone, and I'm talking about prophecy. See, you can come up and you can say a word or whatever and say that's prophecy. No, if it doesn't edify that person. See, if I come up to you and I prophesy, and there's people out there that do this. If I prophesy to you and it doesn't edify you, you don't feel, oh, wow, that's God. See, if it doesn't edify you, then you got to step back a second and ask. Now, maybe later it makes sense. But you got to take it to the Holy Spirit and ask, well, what do you do when you get a word that you don't really understand? Or maybe it rings in your spirit as, I don't know about that. You just keep that to the side until you get an interpretation yourself. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, you know what? That wasn't God. That was them. Or he will say, well, let me help you out. This is what I was saying. Right? So we have to take those words when we don't understand them or they ring wrong. We've got to take them to the Holy Spirit. Not a person. Not an individual. Not even, you can go ask your pastor. You can go ask someone in authority. Or you can ask a friend who has understanding. Yes, you can. But I encourage you, the most important thing to do is to go to God first. Ask for the gift of tongues. Ask for him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then pray in tongues until you get an interpretation. Then you can decipher for yourself with God the Holy, and Holy Spirit what's truth and what's not. What's real and what's not. Because what an individual may think would be completely different from what God said, if he said anything at all. And I think it's important for us to know what he's saying. And see, if I'm out in a place where I'm receiving prophetic words, and I'm going to places where I'm getting words from God, or I'm even in circles where that's happening, I find it very important to know for myself with the Holy Spirit what's God and what's not. Very important. Because it is easy to get a word that is not a word from God, and it'll send you in a direction that you do not want to go. Because Holy Spirit is good, and he's edifying, and he's encouraging. And you will know, if you have him in you and you're praying in tongues, you will know. There are a few occasions where I scratched my head and went, I don't know about that one. And then a little while later, it's like the Holy Spirit said, oh, this is what that was for. And the next thing I know, I'm walking in whatever that is, and it's good. But then there's other times where there's like a bell rung in my right here. And it was like, that's not God. But let me tell you, let me give you an example real quick, and I want to close on this note. This church, pastoring, the word was given to me at Rayo's in Beaumont during a coffee drink with a missionary. You're supposed to pastor. No, that's not God. That was my reaction. Before I left that coffee shop, everything inside me had flipped upside down in a good way. Everything. I remember telling Paul, it's like I walked out of that coffee shop rewired inside. I was wired differently for whatever reason God had. And we're standing here today because of that. Now, if I did not pray in tongues, I would not have received that. We would not be sitting or standing here today. John wouldn't be here today. I don't know where he'd be. Maybe somewhere else. Maybe God sends someone else in his path to do that. I don't know. But you have people in your path that you need to be ready for. You need to have the five words. But to get the five words, you got to put the work in the front part. You got to be ready in the season of opportunity. Leonard Ravenhill says, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. See, there are opportunities. Opportunities have a lifetime. They have a lifespan. That opportunity is open for this long, and then it closes. So if I walk into that opportunity during this span, and I'm prepared, I'm ready, I'm prayed up, I'm prayed in the Spirit, and I have my five words, then I take advantage of that opportunity, and it's brought into reality. But if I'm not prepared, and I'm not praying in the Holy Spirit, that lifetime of that opportunity can end, and then another one pops up later, but I can miss. Think about opportunities missed. I don't want to miss any of them. You don't want to miss any of them. But there are opportunities that we have to be ready for on a daily basis. So if you guys would stand, I want to encourage you with that. If you want to pray this morning to receive the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of tongues, then that is what this message is about. It's to encourage you why it's important and why you need it, why I need it, and what he's for, and why it is something that we should desire. Why it is right to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts. So if you don't have your prayer language this morning, then that is what this altar call is for. Come up and let us pray for you. Let me pray for you this morning to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to receive your prayer language. Don't leave here today without getting that. And then if you have your prayer language, I'm going to ask you to pray in it and pray in the Holy Spirit and stir up the atmosphere and gift of God's in this house, in this room, in this place. And stir up the gift of God within you. Maybe there's a season you've been through where you've kind of laid that aside and been busy. That is easy to do as a believer. But take it and recorrect it this morning and get back on track. Stay prayed up in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues every single day so that you've prayed your time and you have your five words and you're ready at a moment's notice for that individual that's going to cross your path, because they cross our path every day. We just don't see the opportunity go like this in front of us. And if we see that opportunity doing this in front of us, we can grab it. If I'm seeing in the Holy Spirit and I'm edified in my gifts, then I can reach out and grab this opportunity, that opportunity, this one, that one. That's how I want to live. That's how we should live. So if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. Father God, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that if there are those here that desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, that would come forward and be bold enough to say, yes, I want the Holy Spirit. I want my prayer language. If you don't have it this morning, then I'm going to encourage you to step out of wherever you are and come to the front. Come forward. Let me pray for you. Let the Holy Spirit move on you. And ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Ask Him, if you're filled with His Holy Spirit, but you've never prayed in tongues, then I ask that you should ask that the Holy Spirit would fill your mouth and that you would be able to pray this morning in the Spirit, because it is essential. It is essential to your walk. The Apostle Paul said it. I wish that you all prayed in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. But to get to prophecy, you got to have the gift of tongues. So I pray this morning that you would open your heart and mind. So if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit's moving on you and that's what you want, come up. I'm inviting you up this morning. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, I pray that none of us in this place would hold on to anything that is not of you, that we would not hold on to anything that would keep us from pursuing you in the ways that you want us to pursue you. Father, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to be clear and free of all things that would get in the way of our relationship with you, and that you would turbo boost and supercharge and touch our lives right now where we're at, where we're standing. Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch our hearts and minds right now in Jesus' name with your Holy Spirit. Begin to move over each and every one of us. Come in this place, Holy Spirit. Begin to move on our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. God, move. Let our understandings deepen this morning as we've read your word. We've studied your word this morning and understand the importance of your Holy Spirit and the what you come with and what you want to do and why it's important to pray in the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you bring and deepen that understanding as you've done this morning through your word, but bring it through experience now in Jesus' name. God, let us experience you. Let us experience your gifts and your goodness and your love. Let us open our hearts this morning to you, to what you want to do, what you've already done in some cases. Activate the gifts. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We bless you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. Jesus, as we understand now, we understand that you are important, that your Holy Spirit is important, that it is important to pray in tongues, that it is important to pray in the Spirit, so that we're praying directly to you, directly to you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that your word goes deep this morning, that understandings are deepened this morning through your word, through you, through your Spirit. God, I pray that you move right now over every individual in this place as we open our hearts right now where we're standing. Open our hearts. Whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, do it. I ask for the baptism of fresh fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God, that you would open our mouths. God, that you would just begin to rain in and pour on us and in us and through us your baptism of your Holy Spirit. God, that we would pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that we would understanding in Jesus' name. God, I pray that where there are walls and there are thick walls of religious experience and knowledge and years and layers, God, that you would just pierce through those layers like a marksman shot, pierce through all the layers right to the heart, God, of understanding. This is why. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Right through the walls, the thick layers of wall. Yes, that makes sense to me. Yes, I understand it. God, I pray that you would do just that for us this morning. And for those of us this morning that maybe have waned a little bit in this, I pray that you increase your presence, increase the desire for the gifts. As we pursue love, that you increase the desire for your gifts to operate and flow in this house, in this place, today, right now, here. The answer is in you, Jesus. The answer is in you, Holy Spirit. You said if you be lifted up, Jesus, you will draw all men unto you. God, I want you to draw the people here that are supposed to be here. Not advertisement, not things, not stuff, but you. That even if you use those tools of advertisement or whatever, that you use them. You, not us, but you use them. There's a big difference. You use them. You use the tools that we have. You use the space that we have. You use our mouths. Give us what we need to say. Give us what we need to do. Speak to us. Speak through us. And God, I pray that you do that by your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, to this community around us and to the world. To the individuals that we come across every day in our path. God, to those individuals around us even right now who are negative, those people that are not understanding, those people who don't know, God, I pray that you give us the 5 words to say to shut that down. And to bring encouragement to that individual. Something that would break through that negativity. Something that would break through those walls. Something that would just get through that stuff of misunderstanding. God, I pray that you would do what you want to do. And the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues, God, would be understood this morning. Whether we receive now, this morning, or we receive when we go to bed tonight or this week. God, whatever you do, I pray that you do it for each one of us here tonight, today, this morning. In Jesus' name. Just take a few minutes to pray. If you feel like you want prayer, I'm leaving this altar open. I'm staying right here. To make sure. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence, for your spirit, for understanding, and for what you've done and said this morning. And we ask you, God, I ask you right now in Jesus' name that we would carry that out of here this morning, a deeper understanding of what's important and why. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that every individual here, that if there's any of us here that don't know you, that don't have our prayer language, that would not leave here without asking you to receive it. God, let us receive it. If we don't have it, let us receive it. If we do have it, even more in a deeper way. In Jesus' name, amen.